We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek, Ugly Podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Let's sync up, baby.
Already.
Ready?
Uh-huh.
One, two, three.
Go! I knew you were going to do that! I knew you were going to do that!
I was so excited! I was like, this is the time that I will actually say Sincaroni, so we say the same thing, and we swap.
Literally today, I was like, I'm not going to say Sincaroni. It's probably so annoying to him. And then there you are saying Sincaroni.
I was on board with it. Come on.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Dude, today, oh my god, I got home from work and I like made myself a peanut butter sandwich and I was like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna get a little drunk and I'm gonna take a nap. I literally forgot about the podcast. Good thing I walked into my room, looked at my microphone and was like, oh my god!
Can you imagine if you were doing this and you were freaking wasted? That'd be incredible.
No, it wouldn't. You would be so mad at me. I was thinking about just you. Because you have to rein me in so often anyways. Like, if you were like, focus, Lena! Like, you'd be so pissed at me. What is up? My name is Lena Knatzer, and I get drunk sometimes, but I am a gleek. I'm not drunk today.
My name is Ian Allred, and I have never been drunk in my entire life, and I'm a gleek.
Oh my god. I can't wait to get to the episode Blame It on the Alcohol and talk about what kind of drunk person I think you would be, because I have a very clear answer.
I'm excited. I'm psyched. But for now, you guys, we finally made it to season two.
Oh my god, can you believe?
Here we are. We've been doing this for 23 weeks now. 23? And we finally hit the phase where Glee is getting so big. And, you know, it's getting especially shaky.
Honestly.
During this next season. So we're psyched.
I'm so psyched. Literally, I watched this episode today and I was like, there is so much to talk about. I don't even know where to begin. I was writing up the recap and I was like, how do I even recap this episode? So much happens.
I have to say, watching this episode, I was like, this is a very well-balanced episode character-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nearly, except for Emma, who, you know, is on vacation, I guess, nearly every single character gets some form of storyline.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Even Tina has a storyline this episode. Like, almost everyone gets a thing.
Yeah.
So, what a season premiere. Should we head straight into the Glax?
Yeah. Let's party.
Let's hit it up.
I'm ready for these Glax.
Let's do some audition glacks.
Oh yeah, it's time for the glacks.
Okay, so Audition aired on September 21st, 2010. Jeez. Very late in the month to start your season. I know this because I remember September 2010 and all of the other shows were premiering the first week. Mm-hmm. And I was legitimately furious that Glee was not airing for like another 3 weeks.
No, I totally remember that.
September 2010, that was the longest month of my life. I was like, oh my gosh.
August, even worse.
Yeah, it was like, we still have freaking 2 more weeks literally until Glee premieres. I was pissed about it. All right. It was written by Ian Brennan, directed by Brad Falchuk. Mm. The songs in it are Empire State of Mind by Jay-Z featuring Alicia Keys, performed by the New Directions. Telephone by Lady Gaga featuring Beyonce, done by Sunshine and Rachel. Billionaire by Travis McCoy featuring Bruno Mars. Nearly every song is by blank featuring blank.
Yeah.
This one isn't, though. Listen from Dreamgirls performed by Sunshine. And What I Did for Love from A Chorus Line performed by Rachel. And then, of course, we have a little sprinkle of Every Rose Has Its Thorn mm-hmm. by Poison performed by Sam in the Shower. Mm-hmm. And Getting to Know You from The King and I performed by the one and only Tina Cohen Chang.
I love you, Tina.
It also marks the first appearance of several characters that we are going to get to know very well. Mm-hmm. It is the first appearance of Sam Evans, played by Cord Overstreet. It is the first appearance of Dustin Goolsbee, performed by Cheyenne Jackson. It is the first appearance of Sunshine Corazon, portrayed by Jake Zyrus. And it is the first appearance, of Coach Beast, performed by Dot Marie Jones.
All right. Let's chat for a second, shall we?
Yes.
Okay. How do we start this? Okay. Alex Allred and anyone who is trying to watch the show spoiler-free right now, go ahead and skip over, like, maybe 2 minutes? 1 minute? I don't know. How long do you think?
Let's say 2 minutes to be safe. And then if you come back and we are like midway through a conversation, just rewind a little bit.
Okay. So people who know this show will know that Coach Beast, we learn later in the show, is a trans character. And Ian and I have done a lot of talking about how to handle that, you know, as a podcast, as people, we've just done a lot of talking about it and a lot of mulling it over. And we've decided that for narrative purposes, early on in the show, until Coach Beast comes out, we decided to refer to Coach Beast with she, her pronouns. Now, obviously in real life, even when talking about trans people in retrospect, it is important to refer to them as their, you know, chosen pronouns and their true pronouns, definitely. But for narrative purposes, we will be carrying forward with that. Obviously, we're doing that with lots of love in our heart. We wouldn't want to like hurt anyone like that, but we just decided that in talking about the show, we think it's important for the plot. Right, Ian? Am I missing anything?
I don't think so. Just like, you know, we're trying our best and we are just like two random people who aren't experts on anything.
Nope.
So if we're way out of line, we apologize. Just like Lena said, for narrative purposes, it is the decision that we have reached.
Yes. But with lots of love. Okay. So let's party.
Yeah, let's get back into it. And that was essentially 2 minutes. So, hi, welcome back, hi. Alex and anyone else.
Which okay. I'm fairly certain, God, it's 2021. I think it's just Alex.
All right, let's get into some, like, actual glax instead of just stating, you know, like, the stats of the episode. So, Glact made me feel sick. Oh. Telephone is Rachel's 50th released song 50th? On Glee. It is what? The 23rd episode. She has had 50 songs. That includes like duets and trios and stuff. Sure. But like some of these characters have had 50? 4 songs. Oh Britney has had God. 0. Santana has had 3. Come on now.
What the hell?
It was the first season two song to be released because they released it like a week before. It is the only song in season two to reach the iTunes top 10 in the UK.
Oh.
Yeah. Hmm. Billionaire by Travis McCoy is the song that Cord Overstreet had to sing in his audition, but he sang it in a lower key and he literally got the part the day before shooting.
What?
And they didn't have, time before? To transpose it.
That's why it
the
was
same with Diana Agron.
What is that? I don't know what the show is. The show. You'd think they would have their heads screwed on, right? No wonder it came out September. They had to cast people.
They hadn't cast Sam yet. But because he was cast the day before, they didn't have time to transpose the key to like how he sang it in his audition.
Oh.
And so he had to sing it a key higher. So
that's interesting.
Sorry, Cord. I mean, he sounds good. Great. So whatever. Yeah. Listen from Dreamgirls is one of four, I should say. It's the second song from Dreamgirls, but in the whole run of Glee, it is one of four Dreamgirls songs that gets performed in the show, and it is the only one that is not performed by Mercedes Jones.
Interesting.
Right? Some other fun facts. The character of Sam Evans, this is not 100% verified. I would say I am about 99% sure this is true.
Yeah.
Before season two aired, Ryan Murphy, of course, did what he always does, where he just like drops a ton of spoilers for literally no reason because he's a drama queen and he wants attention. And he announced, I remember the IMDb message boards were a buzz, that in this season, Kurt was going to get a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And he said that Kurt and his boyfriend were going to be the it couple of McKinley, and the boyfriend was going to be a new jock character, Sam Evans.
Yeah.
It might not be true, but I'm fairly certain was written to be Kurt's boyfriend. And if you watch these first few episodes, there are like a lot of hints that he might be gay, like the I've never had any balls in my mouth line. Yeah. And then somewhere along the way, Ryan Murphy was like, actually, you know, it'd be more fun is if this character was just exactly like Finn and there was no difference between the two of them. Let's go with that instead. People who love Sam, please don't come for me. He does get a personality later. But these first few episodes, he is Finn Hudson and he is so bland.
Yeah.
All right. Also fun Sam fact. Sam Larson, who... was on the Glee project and later plays Joe Hart. Is his last name Hart? Who cares? He's the worst character on the show. I think he's so boring. He auditioned for the role of Sam.
You are coming in hot with these clips. you are so mean. I love you.
I'm very tired.
I know. Everyone. I know.
I've had enough. There are truly... Freaking Ryan Murphy just set up so many things in this second season. He was like, Jake Zyrus, he's going to be on this show. Because this, I don't know if you remember, but Jake Zyrus was like, Oprah fell in love with him and was like, he's the most talented person on the planet.
And
then he like exploded for like exactly 1 year and then disappeared. And then no one ever talked about him again, to my knowledge. But it was like, Sunshine Corazon's going to be on this show and she's going to be a huge character.
Right.
And like, sorry, everyone, spoiler alert. She does come back, but she's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
And then like freaking Sam's going to come and he's going to be Kurt's boyfriend. That never happened. And then I remember there was this weird rumor that like, what's her name? Oh my gosh. She was on the X Factor and she sang I Dreamed a Dream and she made everyone cry.
Susan Boyle.
There was an announcement that during the Christmas episode, Susan Boyle was going to play the McKinley cafeteria lady.
What the fuck?
Yeah, like a lunch lady at McKinley.
What?
It never happened, but I distinctly remember that being announced. There's all kinds of stuff in Glee that Ryan Murphy announced and then decided not to. Like, he announced that Anne Hathaway was going to play Kurt's lesbian aunt. And then he was like, never mind, forget about that. She's not going to be on the show. Freaking Ryan Murphy, you guys. Okay. Also, just a little background on Cheyenne Jackson, who plays Dustin Goolsbee. Dude, you guys might remember.
I love Cheyenne Jackson.
Cheyenne Jackson had already been cast on an episode of Glee. He was supposed to be in Acapellas as Dakota Johnson, yeah, codenamed Dakota Stanley. He was supposed to play our favorite star of 50 Shades of Grey, Dakota Johnson. But he got sick the day of filming, and so he had to back out, so they recast the part.
Dude, so now he's back. A honey and a half. I love him.
You know what is the biggest injustice of Cheyenne Jackson being on the show? Is that they cast him as a recurring character and gave him zero songs. He never sings. It's such a huge singer. Waste oh, of Cheyenne gosh. Jackson. Cheyenne Jackson's a big Broadway guy. He was in Xanadu. I know this is a Xanadu podcast, so I'm sure everyone's excited about that. He was in, like...
All Shook Up.
Is he in, like, All Shook Up? He's in either, like, Altar Boys or Forever Plaid, like, one of those shows.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Doesn't matter. He's in a bunch of Broadway stuff. He's also freaking, he plays Hades in, like, the third Descendants movie or something.
Yeah, oh my God, he's in Julie and the Phantoms. You need to see Julie and the Phantoms. Okay, I know, I don't think we have talked about this in depth. I think I might have texted you about it once. I need you to watch Julie and the Phantoms for Cheyenne Jackson alone. No one has seen the show. It is so cute. You would love it. You love Teen Beach Movie. You would love Julie and the Phantoms.
True. It is a very embarrassing fact about myself, but I cannot deny it. It is factually correct.
Have we seen Teen Beach Movie 2?
Yeah, and it was fine. It kind of ruined a lot of stuff I liked about the first one, so I didn't
Did watch you it. And I watch it?
Did we? I don't think so.
Okay, then I haven't seen it, because I had only seen the Teen Beach Movie with you.
Oh, I wouldn't recommend it. I had a friend one time. I like everyone. I need you to understand. Teen Beach Movie came out when I had already graduated high school.
Literally.
I am far too old.
I was way too old to
have ever seen this movie. But a few friends of mine, we were going to Disneyland, and that was airing like the day before we could get into the park. And we were like, we can't do anything. Like, we got in that afternoon and we went to like downtown Disney, and then we were like, okay, we're bored. And so we were just sitting in our hotel and we were like, let's watch this, I guess. And two of my friends were like, that was fine. And me and one of my other friends were like, wait, why was that actually like very good?
No. Well, I remember you telling me, you were like, have you seen Teen Beach Movie? And I was like, of course not. And you were like, get your butt in my car right now. We're going to Alex's house. We're watching it.
That's the best. And so me and that one friend like used to always talk about Teen Beach Movie and how we like loved it, but were ashamed. And so then when they announced they were making a second one, we were all kind of excited. Yeah. And then it aired. And then it aired, and she watched it, but I didn't. And then I was like, should I watch Teen Beach Movie 2? And she was like, I mean, I guess, but just to warn you, I was watching it, and I was like, literally, what's the absolute worst way this movie could end? And then that's how they ended it. So,
wow.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Back to Glee, though.
Oh, sorry.
So, this episode... was watched by 12.5 million people. Bubbing. It's also the first episode to list Naya Rivera, Heather Morris, and Mike O'Malley as main cast members.
Oh,
what's
hell
up?
Yeah.
And I thought I had more GLAC, so I didn't put like an air of finality on that one. But looking at this, that's my last GLAC.
Okay.
So the end. What an anticlimactic way.
I know. I feel like that all the time
end
with
these GLACs.
I'm like, well. Hooray. Well, that is not super anticlimactic. It is very exciting about Santana and Brittany.
It is.
Being serious regulars.
Oh, also, here's just a GLAC that I noticed while watching it. I think Mike Chang has more lines in this one episode than he has in the entirety of season one.
Dude, I love to see it. I really do.
Good for him.
Good for him.
They were like, Harry, we're promoting you. Ryan Murphy walked in front of Harry Shum Jr. and Deshaun Talton, and he was like,
oh,
I have one picture
in
this envelope.
I knew Keep going with your speech.
Here's the deal. I don't know America's Next Top Model well enough to make this analogy work super well, but pulled it out.
Here, I'll do it.
Do it. Give us your best Tyra.
I see before me two strong actor dancers. The one. I don't know. I'm done.
Come on. You got it.
The one. I don't know. They have no distinction in character in the first season. There's nothing to say about them. Harrisham Jr., you are still in the running for becoming America's Next Top Model.
All right. Anyways.
Okay. Anyway.
Ba, ba, ba. That's the Glax. There it is.
That's the Glax.
DeJohn
Great.
Talton got killed off. Harrisham Jr. Got really promoted. Good for him. Sad for DeJohn.
Like a twin in the womb.
You want to know what's jacked up? I think I've talked about this on this podcast before. DeJohn Talton got fired so late in the game that he's in the promo shots for season two.
I remember you saying that. That is so fucked up.
Right? They like really just, they were like, hey, come on tour with us and be our little work mule. Go to this photo shoot and you're fired. Bye.
True. I feel really bad, especially for DeJohn Talton, because he's really doing the most in season one. Mm-hmm. Like, he's working really hard. And why was he fired? We don't, like, to make room for Sam?
And, like, here's the deal. Sam does become a very good character.
Yeah.
But in the beginning of this season, it is literally like, what is this character doing that Matt could not have done?
Yeah.
He is like a generic jock. Guess what? Matt was also a generic jock.
Exactly.
Why couldn't you have just had him do these things instead of adding a new character?
I know.
All right. You want to hit us up with that? Recap.
I'm trying to come up with a theme song. Recap. Get it? To that was listen. Did you get it?
I did. It was instantly Thank recognizable.
You. Thank
there was
you.
Not a doubt in my mind that that was listen.
I know. Well, hear me out. I have a theater degree. So let's party. Here's the recap, y'all. Here's what you missed on Glee. After the New Directions take a major L at regionals, they are back from their summer vacay, fresh with new relationships and new boobs. The Cheerios and Glee Club both take budget cuts to give more money to the football program and their new coach. Sue and Will decide to bully the fuck out of Coach Beast to try and get her to quit her job altogether. Quinn is appointed head cheerleader again after she told Coach Sylvester about Santana's summer surgery. Glee Club holds auditions and no one shows up. Finn and Rachel set out to find new recruits. Rachel meets Sunshine Corzone and sends her to a crack house. Finn spies on Sam Evans singing naked in the shower and tries to get him to sign up for Glee. He says no after Finn gets kicked off the football team for trying to secure Artie a spot on the team and is appointed quarterback. And that's what you missed on Glee! Woo! Woo! Thank you.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Oh my God. You know what we have not talked about on the podcast?
What?
You got a cameo from Ken Tanaka.
Okay, so real fast, my aunt got like, she discovered Cameo a few months ago. She got way into it.
Really?
So a few days after Christmas, I just got a text from her that said Merry Christmas, and then it was a link and I clicked it. And lo and behold, whose face should pop up on my screen, but Patrick Gallagher, the actor who played Ken Tanaka, baby.
I remember getting that.
What?
I remember remember you texting me and I was like, this is the most random shit I've ever heard.
I know. It's like, of all characters on Glee, the fact that it's Ken Tanaka is so weird and somehow the most perfect one it could have been. I know.
So true.
Wow. And let me tell you, he's a sweetie. I know. It's long. It's not one of those ones where he's like, hey, Ian, it's Patrick Gallagher from Glee. Hope you're having a good day. It's like long.
It's really sweet.
You can tell my aunt said that he specifically asked her like stuff about me so that he like knew what to say. He said that he knew that I was working on a podcast. And I was like, did she mention that it's literally a podcast about the show that you were on? But he didn't mention anything about that. So I guess not. But he's a very nice man. Mm-hmm. And frankly, as they do to many of these characters, Glee did him so dirty.
So dirty.
They truly just had Emma break up with him, and then they're like, I can't think of anything else to do with you. Goodbye, you had a nervous breakdown. What do we get into first? This episode has so many plot lines that I couldn't divide it into, like, three like we normally do.
Yeah.
Here's my biggest takeaway with this episode that we can dive in here.
Okay.
Is, and this is actually, as I've like rewatched episodes at random, I've watched like one or two from the beginning of season two.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's because Emma's dating Carl. Like, we thought season one Will sucked. Beginning of season two, Will is like such an absolutely despicable person.
In watching this episode, I was like, how on earth does this show continue to lie to us that this is the hero and then also show us this bullshit? Like, right? What and it's like, on earth?
First of all, in Funk, he already learned the lesson that, like, bullying people that are bad doesn't make you feel any better. And then we find out that Coach Beast isn't bad anyway. But it's like, even if Coach Beast was the villain, he already learned that lesson that you shouldn't do it. And also, you can't be like, oh, it was a sin of ignorance. Like, he didn't realize how much it would affect her. Because Sue literally gives him a step-by-step of what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Sue is like, oh, I know someone like her that was, like, burly in high school, probably didn't fit in. Sue literally is like, it's gonna bring up traumatic memories of when she was a child, and it's gonna emotionally destroy her. And Will's like, heck yeah, let's do it. He is like, he's such a piece of garbage in this episode. It's ridiculous.
How on earth is he allowed to not only just be a teacher of children, but a teacher of like underdog outcast children? And then he sees an adult who is an underdog outcast and is like, you know what? I'm going to make this person's life hell for my own selfish gain.
Seriously, like, he sees these kids get bullied every day. Yeah. And then this is exactly what happened in Funk.
Yes.
Is Rachel was like, I just got bullied by Vocal Adrenaline. And literally Will's takeaway was, oh,
this is a good Vocal tactic.
Adrenaline did a really good job of screwing up Rachel psychologically. How about I try that with Sue? And now he's like, wow, Kurofsky and Azemio sure make my kids lose their hope a lot. How about I try that with Coach Beast? Yeah. Also.
Tell me.
So Will, he needs another member to join New Directions because Matt Rutherford has died off screen. So he needs someone else to audition for New Directions. He is dead. It's that thing where Will is like, so Matt transferred to a farm upstate. You know, there's a lot of grass for him to graze.
Oh, yeah.
There's a very caring family who's going to take care of him. He's so happy there. You know, Mike's like, can I visit him? And he's like, no, Mike, it's so far away. You cannot visit the farm. Anyways, so Matt has transferred to a farm upstate with plenty of room for him to run around and plenty of grass for him to graze. And Will tells the New Directions, like, hey, we need another member. And, like, we are, like, people aren't super interested in joining the club, so we need to, like, get interest up. That is a totally viable thing for a teacher to do. It is necessary. Here's how he does it. He's like, so I don't know if you guys know this, but this whole school hates you. If you don't believe me, here are literal hate comments that they have written about you I'm going to read to you in class in front of your peers.
If anyone did that to me in my club that I like considered my family, I would never return.
Can you imagine?
I would never return. He's like, you guys, everyone fucking hates you. What are you doing to make them hate you? Change it up.
He's like, you guys, it's not just me. I'm quoting one of your peers right now. They said, you guys are a ball of suck. So the proof is in the pudding. Don't come crying to me.
I'm not like, maybe I'm not recalling, but what is he? Is he just trying to like get them to recruit more people? Like, what is he trying to do with that?
Yeah. So the issue is that they legitimately, they cannot perform. They cannot qualify for sectionals or regionals. But the club is like, hey, but we're all really good friends. We don't need anyone else. And so Will is like, no, we need to like get out there. It's important that we get people interested. That all makes sense. The way he goes about it.
It doesn't make any sense the way he goes about it.
The reason we need to get interest is because you're all huge losers and everyone at this school hates you and wishes all of you were dead. It is like, so also another bone to pick with Will Schuster. Why is this man so confident that they're going to be going to nationals they placed last at regionals last year?
Hear me out. I appreciate some confidence. I appreciate some like manifesting, some goals. I love goal-oriented people, but that is the most random shit of my life. They placed third.
Right? It's not even like, we almost had it. You were last place. And then he's like, you guys, we for sure are going to New York. I spent all this money on tickets to New York. So we're going to go to New York.
Don't waste my money, kids.
Mind you, last year, we never even heard nationals spoken of, nor did we have any idea where it was taking place.
Didn't even place. And then
immediately, right? And then immediately, Ryan Murphy just gives away the game immediately and is like, nationals are in New York. And we're going to talk about it nonstop and essentially spoil the fact that they're going to end up going to nationals at the end of the season. There is like no mystery of if they're going to qualify for nationals because they talk about going to New York a whole lot in the premiere right off the bat.
I hate this show. And like literally Journey to Regionals was so beautiful. It was incredible. It was like one of the best episodes of television I've ever seen in my life. This compared to Journey to Regionals? Ryan Murphy, come on. Jeez Louise.
Here's the deal. I actually think this episode is very funny. I think, like, there are... Sue has the scene where she's talking to Will in front of the sign-up sheets. I wrote down, like, four different lines. The way that she... When she's like... Those girls have been out there since mid-July.
Yeah.
I guess they lost their humanity a little bit. One girl ate a pigeon. A few others started worshiping a possum carcass as their lord. And then when she just checks her pager and goes, oh, time to feed my gimp. I was like, dang. It is like banger after banger. There are so many funny lines. And I actually like all of the plot lines in this episode besides the Will one. I don't know. I think I do like this episode, but you're right. It does not hold a candle to Journey to Regionals. No.
Hear me out. I like this episode. I do feel like this episode is like rampant with like
racism.
You know, exactly. It's the thing where like Ryan Murphy's like, I'm not racist. I'm calling out people who are racist, but he's the one writing the jokes. Or who wrote this episode? Tell me again.
It's Ian Brennan, and I'm pretty sure Ian Brennan is the one who always puts the racist jokes in.
What is up?
That was with the sunshine and Rachel in the bathroom scene. I was like, here's the deal. We've established that Rachel is like very self-centered.
We know Rachel's not a great person. Looks down on other people. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So I'm like, I buy that she is going to treat Sunshine like a lesser person.
Yes.
But why is she now racist? Like, why is that a part of it, too, now?
Right. And, like, Rachel, we have heard her say, like, some pretty fucked up, like, racist things in the past. Like, this isn't Crunk Club. But, like, you'd think Rachel would have the sense not to talk like that to Sunshine. Like, what the hell? She is a terror in this episode.
The most glaring one for me, and unfortunately, you know, it's here to stay, is the fact that they were like, ugh, what do we do with Tina and Mike? I don't know. We just pair them together and talk about how they're Asian all the time, I guess. Like,
yeah. Send them to Asian camp.
They go to Asian camp. They talk about how all the Asian kids are like all into technology. She sings freaking Getting to Know You from the King.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. They Mike talks about how they know about Sunshine going to crack house because the Asian community is very tight. It's just like, have something else going on in this relationship besides the fact that they're Asian and that's all that's ever talked about. Like, oh my goodness.
And it's like, this is the first glimpse of this relationship and it's already the basis of their entire relationship, which is terrible. And it makes me mad.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I you know, and I do like this episode, but I cannot say that I truly like it because, you know, I don't know. I don't even have words.
Here's my thing with this episode.
What's your thing?
Racism, we already addressed. Bad. The Britney with the sex doll scene, bad.
Whoa. Beyond God.
No, yeah, I know. It's real bad. Beyond that, I'm fine with the plot lines. We'll talk about the Rachel one more in depth. I'm fine with the plot lines. I, like, enjoy them for the most part. I think that pretty much every musical number in this episode is not good.
I was thinking that, too. I mean, I like Listen a lot.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Sorry, Jake Cyrus. Listen is very good.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It even happened when I watched the episode, and I had on my second watch when Listen started, I was like, oh, yeah, Listen's in this episode. I don't know why I airlift that song out every time I think of this episode. I always forget it's in there.
And he truly does a bang up job. And I think it is the shining star of at least the music from this episode. Oh, my God.
Also, I wrote my notes like as a person who never knows what to do with my hands when I'm singing and I constantly like have them plastered to my side. Right. I was like, man, respect to Jake Cyrus. He is like the anti thing. Not knowing what to do with your hands.
Like, he's like,
he is like flick them all over, yes, pointing at the audience. Amazing. Also, I guess this episode, we're just going to ping pong everywhere. I mean, it has so many minor plots.
Much like the structure of the episode. Like,
Here's another thing that happened during Listen that was the biggest laugh I had in the entire episode and also cut me to the core and made me feel so ashamed. Is the fact that Sunshine introduces a song. She says, I'm going to be performing Listen from the movie Dreamgirls. And I said, at the exact same time that Rachel said it, the Broadway musical Dreamgirls.
You suck so bad.
I was like,
oh my God.
Wow. They really came for me on that line. But then it's even more embarrassing because that song is not in the musical. Sunshine is Right. It was written for the movie.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But that is just another example of why I relate to Rachel Berry so much.
You know another reason we relate to Rachel Berry? I thought of this while I was watching the episode. And
it's because we send people to crack houses all the time?
Absolutely. Nonstop. I've got a crack house on speed dial. No. Do you remember while we were in college, you and I had... What am I about to talk about?
Say it. I think I know what you're going to talk about. And I was thinking about this the other day.
Really? Ian and I did this thing in college where we didn't, obviously this was a joke, where we would like pick a random person. Most often it was our friend Isabella, who like, you know, is nothing like my cast ability, absolutely nothing like yours. And we would always like watch her perform and she would just fucking kill it. And we'd be like, she's coming for my brand. Like, we would always like be like so pissed that she was so good. Like, she's taking all my parts. Like, she's really taking like, my bag.
Literally, like, we could not look more different. Like, Never in a million years would we ever be considered for the same part as her. And every time that she would sing something in class and kill it, we would be like, oh, she's coming for our brand.
And we would act so pissed. I don't even think Bella even knew that we did that.
That's the thing. Bella, what's up, girl? That it was literally just a joke between you and I. Oh my gosh, we're so obnoxious.
I know, but we like, you know, she would just like be so good and we would be so mad that she was so good.
Like, it became a bit that any time that someone did something really well that like Lean and I couldn't do, we'd be like if someone, for example, Lean and I, we're not known for like being dancers. And so like if anyone ever did a dance, I'm a great dancer.
I'm kidding.
we're not like very trained in dance. And so if someone did like an amazing ballet routine, they'd be like, they're coming for my brand.
Wow, we really did that like nonstop for an entire year.
It's a great bit. We should resurrect it, I think. And let me tell you, Jake Zyrus was really coming for my brand during this song. Oh man, I was getting angry. I was like, we always are considered for the same parts.
I see like a traffic guard like doing a really good job, and I'm like, ugh, coming for my brand.
Okay, let's talk about the Rachel of it all.
Listen,
I was gonna make a joke, but I don't know the lyrics to the song well enough to make a joke. I'm not at home in my own home.
Here's my thoughts on
the only line I know.
Very good. Here's my thoughts on Rachel in this episode. I love Rachel in season one. We've talked about this in depth. It is second one, minute one of season two where I fucking hate her. Like, she, I swear to you, in this episode, she is like super racist to Sunshine, like feels threatened and like sends her to nearly get murdered, lies to her entire club that it's for them, is like emotionally manipulating them the entire time, and then has this fight with Finn in the hallway. And I don't know about you, but she's like, you can just break up with me. And I'm like, Rachel, Rachel.
It was terrible.
I was so angry with her. And then the episode ends with her singing What I Did for Love. And I'm like, these show writers love her and will literally have her attempt to murder a young person and like be manipulative to her boyfriend. And she is still the hero of this show. And I will never forgive them for that.
Yeah. My thoughts on Rachel this episode.
What?
Racism aside, we've already talked about that. Didn't like it. I actually really loved the Rachel storyline until a point, because I mean, like, I love Glee as a satire. Like, even from the beginning, my in with Glee was always the satirical elements. I loved it as a comedy much more than I loved it as a drama. And so I always loved, like, I always thought that Rachel was such a funny character, and it always made me sad that they would make her less and less funny, because they were like, oh, but Lea Michele's the star, and so we need her to cry all the time. And I was like, no, but make her funny, please. And so this episode is, like, out there with what Rachel does. And it's so, like, if someone did this in real life, like, they would go to jail. But I think it's very satirical. I think it's very funny. I love, like, she's got such funny lines when she's talking about Sunshine to Kurt and Mercedes, and she says, also, she's shorter than me, which I find very off-putting because I didn't even know that was possible. That made me laugh so hard. Sure. I just, like, my favorite part of Rachel is the absolutely exaggeration of someone who is, like, someone who is such a, so obsessed with, like, the spotlight and, like, people thinking well of them and, like, their accomplishments. Because as that type of person, I, like, I can laugh at it and be like, of yeah, course, sure. I would never do anything close to that. But like, I can see myself in that and I think it's funny.
Yeah.
What I hate about the Rachel storyline is as soon as Finn confronts her about sending Sunshine to the crack house and on, ruins the entire storyline for me. Like okay. you said, the Finchel conversation, it feels like the writers think it's really tender.
I know.
Like Rachel is like, I'll never break up with you. And we're supposed to be like, oh my gosh, they're in love. It's played completely straight. And like you said, it is Rachel being so emotionally abusive, such a manipulator. Mm-hmm. Like that's my problem with the storyline is the crack house stuff is all played as a joke. It is all like, this is so ridiculous.
Yeah, sure.
And as soon as I start taking it seriously, as we've talked about many times, it's like, well, now I have to take the fact that she sent this girl to a crack house seriously. And also, like, she's being an yeah. absolutely, like, toxic and terrible person to Finn right now. And then the fact that Finn is like, I can't break up with you. I'm nobody. I'm not a quarterback. I was like, this relationship is the most unhealthy thing on earth.
Yeah.
He essentially...
Oh, my God, I know.
Rachel, instead of taking responsibility for, like, nearly killing someone, she makes him feel bad by saying, well, now you're just going to break up with me. And then he essentially says to Rachel, the only reason I'm with you is because I don't have any social status. Like, both yeah. of them say such
they're not in
absolutely
the right place.
Terrible things that it's treated like a very sweet moment.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, to end it with the most earnest performance of What I Did for Love. Have these writers listened to this song?
Yeah.
Have they like seen a chorus line? Like What I Did for Love is, for those of you who haven't seen a chorus line, it's a show about people auditioning to be in a chorus line of a Broadway musical. Like they're auditioning to be in the ensemble. Mm-hmm. And it's they're at like final callbacks and one of them breaks his leg and he like leaves and they all have to grapple with the fact that like he just broke his leg. It might not heal well. He could never dance again. This could yeah. be the end for him. And so they all have a moment of like, oh my gosh, essentially at any moment our career could be done. And then the director asks them, if today was the last day you could dance, would it have been worth it? And it's this beautiful song about like how hard it is to be an artist like that isn't a big name, like a starving artist essentially, and the sacrifices that you have to make and like the passion that it takes and how much you have to put up with rejection and failure and just keep your head up and how at any moment you can have that taken away from you. And they're like, but you know what? At the end of the day, if I like broke my leg and I could never dance again, I would not regret it because I did it for the love of dance.
Yeah.
And to have Ryan Murphy be like, you know what? I don't regret sending that girl to a crack house and nearly killing her because I did it yep. for my love of the yep. spotlight. It is like such a middle finger to what that song is about. And here's the deal. It could be very funny if it was played as a satirical take on it.
It's
if
totally
it was
not.
Like Rachel's taking herself so seriously and she's being over dramatic, but we as an audience know that she's like being dramatic in the worst. But yeah, Ryan Murphy totally wants us as an audience to empathize with Rachel in that moment. And it ruins the whole storyline.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Right. I do have a theory about it. I think that probably on paper, it is supposed to be funny. Because we have those moments with, like, you know, Rachel staring at all of them through the classroom window and, like, mm-hmm. Mike is spinning around in a circle, like, giving, like, Tina and Mercedes and Kurt, like, high fives. Oh, yeah. My God. Like, that was my favorite part of that whole episode. And, like, she's, like, running her fingers along, like, the seats of the auditorium. So I have a theory that initially they talked about it being satirical, but it like somewhere along the line, like maybe it was like during filming, or like maybe Lea Michele is doing a bad job at that, but something went wrong because it is very serious.
Yeah, it got like super lost in translation.
Yeah.
I do like in that number though, I like the that it like does a montage of all the characters and where they are right now.
Yeah.
And you see, like, you see Tina and Mike together and Artie's watching them and he's all sad. Yes. And you see Quinn talking to Sue and then she looks over and Santana's at the bottom of the pyramid and all that stuff. I do really like that.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, Lea Michele sounds nice and it's a beautiful song. It's just like, why are we supposed to be feeling for this girl right now after the crap she just pulled in this episode? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
All right. It's rewind time. Let's talk about Finn and Sam.
Okay. The cycle of abuse truly continues with Finn and Sam.
Wait.
What?
We never talked about telephone.
Okay. Let's talk about telephone. You don't like this number?
I don't know what it is about this number that makes me not love it. I don't dislike it. I think I probably do like it.
I like it.
I
remember when it happened. Everyone lost their minds. Everyone loved it. Everyone was like really excited to when this episode aired and that song happened. You know what I mean? Like everyone was just so excited about it. And I thought it was good. My favorite part about the entire thing probably is Sue coming in at the end.
I just love that Rachel is straight up like just breathing straight into Sunshine's ear the whole time.
And the way Sunshine is just so oblivious to all of that. Yeah,
and Sunshine's just like, boo, 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 boo.
She's like, ooh, I love to do it in the bathroom.
I think what is off-putting about this number to me is nothing about the number itself. It's just how, like, blatant Glee was in this episode about doing the most popular songs they possibly could.
Oh my god, right? Like, the Travi, like, fucking billionaire was so big at the time. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And because, like, this was when we were in high school that this episode was airing. So, like, I heard these songs everywhere.
All the time.
I think after hearing Empire State of Mind into Billionaire and then into Telephone, I was like, okay, we get it. You listen to the radio. Like,
what's up, 2010? Yeah, totally.
Let's throw in some other jams. Because when I think about it, there's nothing wrong with it. It's actually, like, pretty funny. Like, they know how ridiculous it is and they, like, lean into it. Which is a thing they don't do very often. And Sue coming in at the end is very funny and they both sound good. So it is a good number. I just like, we get it, Ryan Murphy. You want to be cool with today's teens and you want to show that you listen to the same music as them. Let's shake it up a little bit.
I know. I haven't noticed that in any other episode before. Like just such new music before, you know?
Yeah. Well, It's a season two and onward thing. It's gonna become pretty frequent from now on. Now to Finn and Sam.
Finn and Sam. Yeah. What are your thoughts? Tell me.
Okay, first let's catapult Finn and Sam off by talking about Empire State of Mind.
Yes.
Empire State of Mind was so embarrassing for me because I remember that I actually thought that number was like pretty cool when I first watched it. And mind you, I was a sophomore in high school. I was too old to think that number was cool. Watching it again is maybe the cringiest thing that Glee has done yet. The way that like they're all wearing like matching t-shirts and the fact they do a freaking like rap song as their flash mob, like know your place, stay in your lane, do not do a rap song. And then when the camera shows Sunshine and she's like, oh wow, these guys are really good. Yeah. And Rachel's like, heck yeah. And then it shows, I literally burst out laughing when it shows Sam's foot and goes up to his face and he's like,
oh my God, I know.
What is that? And then it cuts to Finn and he's like, yeah, man, it is so embarrassing.
I know.
It is terrible. Oh my gosh.
My favorite thing about it is probably just, it's almost comical how they're doing this entire routine and no one is paying attention, which I think that was the goal, but it's not even like people are like looking at them and cringing. It's like, people are like walking around having full-on conversations, not even noticing the Glee Club. That is so funny to me. Oh my gosh.
If if that was made clearer, because when the number ends, that's made very obvious. If it was made clear during the number, I think I would like it more. But during the number, we are given close-ups of Sunshine and Sam, and it's like a religious experience for them.
Yeah, totally.
And that's what makes it so embarrassing for me. And like, what makes it so hard for me to get through is how both of them are just like, what?
Yeah. And everyone else is like literally unfazed. This is another song. Empire State of Mind was everywhere in 2010.
Yes, it was.
You could not avoid that. Do you want to know what I thought and to this day still sing when I hear this song?
Yes.
In New York, concrete jungle, wet dream tomato.
Wet dreams tomato?
What? Listen to it again. Listen to it again.
Okay.
You'll hear it.
Did you sincerely believe those were the words, or is that just what you heard?
I'm fairly certain I definitely thought it was tomato. Wet dream I probably put in there a little later.
They're just listing off. They're listing off different things. And he's like, I don't know, it's a concrete jungle.
Wet,
I don't know,
wet
I've had a wet dream before.
About New York.
No.
You had a dream about the Chrysler building.
He was like, I had the weirdest wet dream. Chrysler building, very phallic. And there was a tomato in it.
Concrete jungle, wet dream tomato.
There's nothing you can't do. You know, Alicia Keys? I can't argue with that.
Literally.
Oh my gosh. On to the Sam and Finn of it all, the actual plot line, though. I mean, frankly, Sam, he doesn't have to do a lot in this episode.
No.
It is exciting to see Finn get dethroned by Sam and that Sam becomes the new quarterback.
Yeah.
And how, like, that's really hard for Finn. That is very exciting. So I don't have any issues with this storyline. It is annoying to me that they're so, like, in case you didn't realize that Finn is Minnie Will by how many freaking father-son symbolism we put into the show. Here is literally a self-insert of Finn watching Sam sing in the shower. It's the pilot again, folks. Like, we get it, you guys.
I don't know what about that makes them want to redo that. Oh my gosh. At least they didn't blackmail him. That's pretty tight. We didn't have any of that. We did have his girlfriend sending another kid to a crack house, but, you know, McKinley High is whack.
Yeah, it is. Let's talk about Billionaire.
Let's.
Here's something I need to be known about Billionaire. This song, I'm sorry, freaking sucks. I, as someone who had to listen to this song on the radio every day when I drove to school, I have such a hateful place in my heart for this song.
Yeah.
It makes me want to claw my ears off.
I swear. I'm going to say it. Something about pop music from 2010, I don't know what it is. I listen to it with mad contempt. I have no idea. Like, I'll hear songs that, like, were on my iPod, like, I just found one the other day, and I was like, jeez Louise, who told me this was good? Like, Lady Gaga's good. Beyonce is good.
Well, and Adele became big when we were in high school, and
but
Adele's
like,
great.
Billionaire? Jeez
And, like,
Louise.
LMFAO was really
oh
big.
Oh, my God, I know.
When we were in high school.
I know.
Oh, my gosh. LMFAO is the worst.
I know. Sorry, LMFAO, if you're listening.
I know you guys are big fans of the show. I know that the uncle and nephew singing duo, LMFAO, a nephew and an uncle who sing a song about how sexy they are, I know that they're big fans of the podcast.
They are. They told me personally.
But we're not big fans of yours. But the fact that literally the lyrics are, I want to be a billionaire so freaking bad. Did he
buy
write
all the
this?
Things I never had?
Was his
be
record
on the
label
cover
like,
of
the
Forbes
lyrics
magazine.
Are due in 10 minutes? And he was like, I don't know
Fly
this,
next
I guess.
To Oprah
it's so
and
bad.
The Queen. Jeez.
And I mean, Cordova Street does a fine job.
Oh, this he scene sounds is fine. Great.
I love seeing Mike in there with them. It's very exciting to see him like actually interact with other people. I just truly cannot abide this song. It makes me furious.
Yeah, I feel the same. He sounds great. The song is dreadful. And also, Artie rapping twice in an episode. Jeez Louise. Right.
This truly is the beginning of something I hate about Glee, which is the like, take the most popular song and put it in the episode, whether it fits or not. And it leads to like some of the most egregious numbers the show has ever done.
Oh, certainly.
Where they were like, I don't know, we have to put Friday by Rebecca Black in there for somehow. And they're like, I don't know, what does the Fox say has like 10 million views?
Put Gangnam Style in the show, no question.
It's terrible. I think this episode is probably, because before this, they did like popular songs of the day, but they were like quality songs.
Yeah.
And now they truly are like, we need our ratings to keep going up.
And I think they realized in season one, let's shove it in there. I think they realized in season one that like people wanted to listen to Glee covers, really. Mm-hmm. Like they realized that so many of those songs like boosted in popularity. They earned a ton of money from like people downloading and purchasing those songs. So I think they were like, you know what? Billionaire is a really big song right now. A bunch of people will probably buy it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it becomes a cash grab at this point.
And the artists at this point were like asking them to put their songs on the show.
Yeah, I would. Makes sense.
On Showman's, Kevin McHale talks about how Travie McCoy was on MTV. He was being interviewed and he was talking about Billionaire. And he was like, yeah, and it's going to be in the next episode of Glee. That like Glee became a really big advertising tool. Yeah. So people would just send them their songs and Glee would be like, I don't know, we'll find a place to shove it in there. Who cares?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Anyways.
I'm sexy and I know it.
Did they ever do that on Glee?
You know they did. You know who freaking sang it? Ricky Martin.
No! I forgot that he's on this show. Why is everyone who ever lived
Ricky
on
Martin
this show?
Rocks. We're not talking about it right now, but we will talk about it later.
Oh, I like Ricky Martin. You reminded me of the character he plays in that episode, and I don't like that episode. Anyways.
We'll get to it.
Oh my gosh. is there any more Sam and Finn to talk about in this episode?
So.
There's not a lot. Here's the thing. We crap on Will being a terrible teacher all the time, and he is. But Coach Beast also is a really crappy teacher in this episode when she literally is in Figgins' office and says to Will, like essentially confesses to Will that the reason that she is cutting Finn from the team is because of Will and not Finn.
Yep.
And Will even says, I get this. This is about me. And instead of Coach Beast being like, yeah, it is. So how about we have a conversation and leave Finn out of it? Mm-hmm. Coach Beast is like, yep. So I'm ruining our student's life. Like, yeah. I had teachers at my high school who I know from, you know, like context clues did not like each other and had a rivalry.
Did you love to see that in high school? Because I did. I loved like talking
to
my
sad.
Teachers hating each other. Really? Oh, my God. I love drama. You're so nice.
Well, because they were two performing arts teachers. And so it was.
Oh, no.
It made
that does
things,
suck. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was like. I just wanted them to get along, you know?
Yeah, totally.
But they never brought the students into it. Like, frankly, you had to... I picked up on it because I was around them a lot.
Yeah.
You had to, like, be paying attention. Never would they have pulled some crap, like, kick a kid out of a show to prove a point to the other teacher.
Yeah.
Like, that is such immature garbage.
Yeah. What else? What should we get into next?
Should we get to... the lasting impact that this episode has had on pop culture itself.
Every
that
single
11
person
years later,
who's ever lived.
That I truly had seen this episode exactly one time before watching it for the podcast. And yet watching it, I could quote every single line along with them because it is such a big deal.
Yep.
Which is, of course, Queen Bee Quinn and Santana Lopez getting in a fight in the McKinley School hallway.
Do you want to recreate it right now?
Who are you? Are you Santana or are you Quinn?
I don't know. I was waiting for you to pick. I feel like you have a very clear preference.
I'll be Santana.
Okay, perfect.
All right, everyone. If we get this wrong, do not tweet at us. We're trying our best. You told Coach Sylvester about my summer surgery.
You have a surgery when you get your appendix out. You got a boob job.
Yep, sure did.
You can't hit me.
Sure I can, unless you got yourself knocked up again, slut.
Fight.
You're well, go.
Hey, what's going on?
Wait. I'm giving you your line. I thought we were supposed to be a family. It's my cue line. Oh, please. She has a family. She's a mother. Oh,
walk away and tighten up your pony before you get to class.
What? Good for you for going all in on that last line, because before then, what a half-hearted rendition of that scene that turned out to be.
You cannot say tighten up your pony before you get to class without screaming it, right?
That's accurate.
Sorry to your ears, though.
Just, Naya Rivera deserved an Emmy nomination for the line delivery of "She has a family. She's a mother.
She's a mother.
It's so good."
And that's what I think makes this episode a standout alone, is just that 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. What the hell?
It is like maybe the shortest scene in the episode, and yet it is the one that has stood the test of time.
Oh, easily. Stop the violence.
Also, I love seeing Quinn be a mastermind again. I love seeing her go into Cheerios auditions and know exactly what to say to Sue to get her back on the team. Mm-hmm. That's something I always, like, I really love about the Quinn character, is how she is, like, so smart and conniving and knows how to read people so well. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very exciting to see this power dynamic between Santana and Quinn.
Yep.
I love it.
Tighten up your pony before you get to class. Other than that, it's perfect. I really have nothing else to say about it.
Yeah. Is there, like, anything else to talk about this episode?
I don't even know. We've only been talking for an hour and 12 minutes.
I know. This is going to be a short one. Unheard of.
I know. What's going on?
Bizarre.
There's got to be something else to talk about.
I mean,
tighten up
Tina gets Tina gets, like, quite a bit to do this episode, so respect.
True. I appreciated that. And, you know, we talked about it a little bit. Mike. Whoa. We got to see his abs in this episode. Jeez Louise.
I also love how this episode opens. I mean, I've aired my opinions out about Jacob Ben Israel in the past.
I love the opening.
But I love every time they use Jacob Ben Israel to make fun of, like, bloggers on the internet and the crap they say about Glee. That intro is so funny. The way they call it, like, all the criticisms people would have about the show, that he tells Will there's a petition to get him to stop rapping. He, like, calls out how all the characters are way too auto-tuned.
Like, he calls it their big gay summer.
It's a fantastic opening. Also, Brittany's line of, a lot of people thought I went on vacation, but I accidentally spent the summer wandering around the sewers.
She got lost in the sewers.
Looking through my notes, at the end of Empire State of Mind, Kurt, that whole number is so embarrassing to me. And Kurt keeps, like, punching the air to the beat, trying to be all cool.
Oh my god, Kurt in that number.
What's going on there?
Hear me out. Kurt is not in this episode a lot, but it is, like, that classic early season one Kurt thing where he's, like, in the background being just adorable. Mm-hmm. Like, in Empire State of Mind, he's probably my favorite. His hair is so funny. He is, like, so adorable. And then at the end, when Rachel is, like staring into the classroom, he's just, like, spinning around, like, doing nothing, just, like, spinning around, like, me in my, like, kindergarten soccer team, just, like, not participating, just spinning around. You know what I mean? God, I love Kurt. God, I love Kurt.
All right. Frankly, I know this was a short episode. I think that might be it for audition.
Really? Shoot.
Which is wild, because so much happened in this episode.
I know.
But I mean, maybe it's just because it's like freaking 11 p.m. at night, but I
think. Yeah. I almost don't even know how to end this if it's not at 2 hours.
Right? I guess that's our intro to season two, everyone. We got listeners so excited. They were like, they're going to start cutting down the time. No, I guarantee Brittany is going to be like 3 hours long. Oh, no.
You guys have no idea how excited I am to talk about Brittany. So get ready.
You guys have no idea how much I'm going to make you all mad at me when I talk about Brittany. All right.
You know what? I'll hold my own. I hereby pledge to you guys, I love that episode, and I will hold my own, I promise. I will fight on your behalf against this monster. I know you
do. I know that I have the unpopular opinion, so I want someone to defend the episode because I
don't know that about you yet. Have some thoughts. I know that people, you have said before you don't like tribute episodes, and you've said a few hot takes in the past. I truly don't think people are prepared for how hot your takes truly are. Because Ian and I have been talking about Glee since we've known each other, really. And you guys are in for a rude awakening as things progress.
Yeah.
Ian's not
so
nice.
Season one is by and large my favorite season. So if you thought I had some hot takes on season one, get ready for future seasons.
Yeah.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Doom, doom, doom.
Best part, worst part.
Boom. Lena, what's your best part, worst part of Audition?
Heck, you know, my best part has got to be there is no other option. You got a boob job. That entire scene is golden in the like the stinking crap pile that is moments of this episode. We have this diamond of tighten up your pony before you get to class. You know?
Mm-hmm.
What about your and you know, my favorite song in this episode is probably Listen. It's very good. Ian, what was your best part?
Favorite song, Listen. I agree with you on that. Favorite moment would have
favorite
to
mom?
Be, oh gosh, like honestly, unpopular opinion, I love the Rachel plotline in this episode, but it just gets so ruined at the end that it's not my best part.
Yeah,
I frankly
think, if
you
say it's your best part, I'll be sad.
If the end of the episode treated Rachel the way she deserves to be treated, which is she is being so dramatic and ridiculous and terrible, and we were laughing at her instead of like supposed to be feeling all heartbroken, then that might be my best part, but that ruins the whole thing. So I mean, I might have to say the same part you did, but I'll get specific with it. You know what, I already said it, she deserves an Emmy nom for she has a family. She's a mother. Sure did.
Fantastic. Yep, sure did. So good. She deserves an Emmy.
The way she says that, she says it so nonchalantly.
I know.
Right before she slaps Quinn. Fantastic.
So good.
I just had a fun idea.
What's your fun idea?
There is no assignment of the week. However, the assignment of the week.
I was just going to ask you.
The assignment of the week appears to be, if you had to sing a top 40 song from the fall of 2010 for the New Directions,
I'm looking up
what
top
would you
40
sing?
Of fall 2010 right now. Here we
I'm
go.
I'm going to look it up too, so I'll just cut this little pause out and then we'll come in with our answers.
So many of these songs are performed on season two.
Like, honestly, the majority of these songs
I know,
are performed
I
on
know.
Season two. Wow, they really lost their creativity, huh?
They really did. I don't even know what to choose because I should pick something that's not on Glee, but they're all on Glee.
I have mine.
Oh, jeez.
No, mine was on Glee.
Was mine?
Hold up, I gotta pick a different one. Okay, let's get into it.
That was pretty painful for you from what I witnessed. Tell me a little bit about how that went for you.
I realized that every time I saw a song on the top 40 list that I like, I would look it up with Glee afterwards, and Glee had already done it. However, I did find one that is a song I genuinely like, but it truly was like my fifth choice. Bulletproof.
That's what I picked.
Really?
Yes.
To be fair, all the other good ones were taken already.
Damn you! That sucks so bad.
Well, there it is.
Damn you, sir.
I also like I like it by Enrique Iglesias. The like, baby, I like it the way you move on the floor. I just don't think I can pull that song off, so I didn't choose it.
I didn't choose anything else. I could do Alejandro by Lady Gaga.
We audition with Bulletproof as a duet. We're watching Empire State of Mind. It pans us at a lunch table, and we're like, they're coming for our brand. We have to cement ourselves as the leads. And then we come in and we audition with Bulletproof as a duet.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Gosh, I cannot believe we did that.
And then we invite Rachel over to our house. We're like, hey, you seem really cool. We want to be friends. Here's our address and specific directions how to get to our house. Yeah. But actually, we send her to a crack house.
We did a switcheroni. Sorry,
yeah,
Rachel.
Yeah, we said, what goes around comes around, bitch, and send her to a crack house. There it is.
Oh my God. You called me a bitch over Twitter this week, just like on in our DMs. And I have to say, it's probably the funniest thing you've ever said to me.
I need people to understand. I wasn't like, Lena, you're a bitch. What did I say exactly?
Well, I sent you a tweet that Paul Bettany had tweeted about WandaVision. It was like, you guys are going to...
all my conversations about WandaVision?
Because you and I have one-track minds. We either are talking about Glee or we're talking about WandaVision or we're talking about, like, I don't know, the complexities of life and religion. But, like... It was like, Paul Bettany had tweeted, you guys are going to freak out at next week's episode. And I sent that tweet to you and I was like, look at this. And you said, it's the sword episode, bitch. It's so funny.
Let me tell you, I'm pumped. I can't wait for episode 4. I think we're going to see sword.
I hope so.
Anyways. We'll say that for our
WandaVision
podcast.
Did we talk about our worst parts yet?
Oh, we didn't talk about our worst parts. Okay, Lena, what's your worst part?
We cannot start a WandaVision podcast.
I know. Unless people really want it and they're going to pay us to do it, and then we totally will. Lena, what's your worst part?
I think my worst part, jeez, there's so many worst parts in this episode to have. It's not fun. There are a lot of these parts of the episode. It probably has to be just the writers being like, see, we're not racist. We're pointing out how racist it is when they're writing all the jokes and, you know, Rachel having that just nauseating conversation with Sunshine in the bathroom. It's not fun. Ooh. Ian, what was your worst part of the episode?
You know what? Superficially, my worst part was Billionaire and Empire State of Mind. They made me cringe. But the true worst part besides the racism is, the show was on the doll where she touched you scene.
Oh, yeah. So, I saw that and bobbing, I forgot it. There it happened. It was so... I hate that shit. It makes me mad and it's not funny at all. On a lighter note, I keep looking at my notes. And I wrote down, because I had to pause the episode because I laughed so hard, at the scene where Will goes in to talk to Sue about the signups being defaced and the buttface McBallnuts and Asbraham Lincoln.
Asbraham Lincoln is so funny.
Tag yourself. Are you buttface or are you Asbraham?
I'm Asbraham Lincoln 100%.
And I'm Buttface McBallnuts. Anyway, right. I don't even know how to end this episode because it was so short.
Here's how we end it. That's a season wrap on Audition, everyone. Come back next week for Brittany.
It'll probably be twice this length.
If you want to follow us on social media, please do. You can find our Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. You can find our Twitter at recoveringgleek, where we do our lovely weekly Twitter polls. Also, if you'd love to leave us a review, we love reviews. We do read all of them. And on top of that, the more reviewed our podcast is, the more it gets recommended to other people. Yes. You can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. That would be lovely. Mm-hmm. If you want to send us a voicemail, you can do so anchor.fm/recoveringgleek. If you want to send us an email, recoveringgleek@gmail.com, let us know what you thought about audition, your different perspectives on the show. We would love to hear from you.
Yes,
you
definitely.
Might show up in our mini-sode on Monday. So send us your thoughts.
Send us your thoughts, your thoughts. Do people call each other that anymore? Oh my God.
Oh, a thought? Yeah. I did not understand. I didn't get what you were doing at all. I was lost.
This episode all right. is so all over the place. I'm so sorry. We love you so much. Here's a little kiss on your forehead. Please go spread some glee.
Here's another one.
You're like a dementor.
I was trying to give you a hickey.
Oh my God.
Okay. Bye, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
When I was a kid, I used to give myself hickeys on my arms
all
the time.
Oh, me too!
Because I didn't know what they were. Like, I didn't know it was, like, a sexual thing at all. I was just like, whoa, if you suck on your skin, it, like, turns purple.
Yeah.
And so I would have, and, like, I was, like, 4 or 5.
Sure.
I would have hickeys up and down my forearms.
Oh, my God.
24/7.
Oh, my God. You know what I used to do as a kid? I used to, like, take a cup and suck it to my chin. Like, you know, and yeah, it would like yeah. stay on your chin. And then I would get like huge hickeys like all around my mouth. I remember I have a photo of me with a huge hickey around my mouth, like in like Aubrey and I, my sister, we did like a photo shoot and my whole chin is like purple.
There are many pictures of me as a child with cuts all over my face because I used to throw tantrums and throw myself into the wall because I was so dramatic.
That makes sense to me. I'm not surprised to hear that even a little bit.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.